You're tuned to WDIY Classics on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. And it is time for concerts at Miller Symphony Hall. The lights are coming up for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra's 2013-2014 concert season. The concerts open this weekend with a program entitled Opening Revelry. Awadajan Pratt on piano, the music of Lowell Lieberman, Grieg Sibelius. Concert Saturday, October 12th, 8 o'clock, Sunday, October 13th at 3 p.m. The Allentown Symphony Orchestra is directed by Diane Whitry. She was the artistic director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. She is a composer. She has conducted orchestras all over the world, a leader of composer forums and educational programs, and a good friend of Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio. And we welcome her back to the microphones here at WDIY. Diane Whitry, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Well, here it is. Fall is in the air. The instruments are being tuned up, you know, everything's getting dusted off after, in the old days, that Allentown Symphony Hall, or now it's Miller Symphony Hall, used to go kind of quiet over the non-concert season, but there's a lot of things going on at Miller Symphony Hall these days, at least with regards to the symphony orchestra, things are starting to fire up, and this is your big opening weekend.
Opening weekend on the classical concert series, and we've got a really great program in store for everybody, and some of my favorite music, it's a challenge, what do you put on for the opening night for the season? And we're opening with a piece by Lowell Lieberman, who is a living composer. And, I always love to do newer works that I think the audience might not find on their own. But this concert overture is such a lively, fun, sort of humorous, in-your-face piece. And he utilizes a lot of interesting percussion. He uses a flexitone, which you have to come to the concert if you don't know what that is, and look for that unusual instrument back there, and lots of sort of triangles and cymbals and break drums, and an unusual instrument to find in a symphony orchestra.
Well, that's what I one of the things I appreciate about your direction of the Allentown Symphony is that you play a lot of these really favorite standard pieces of music, music that people love, but there's always something new, something a little different, some sort of Diane Whitry little quirk to the program.
I'd like to give people something to talk about afterwards, something that they maybe don't know or don't expect, but that they're really going to love. And this overture is called Reverly, and we sort of named the whole concert after this overture because it's literally so much fun. It's just like a big wild party, and it's such a well-crafted piece. And Lowell is a very humorous composer, and he writes in the program notes that this piece is based upon a 12-tone row, which, for people that know music intimately, that will remind you of Schoenberg and sort of atonal music and music that maybe is not so pleasing to the ear. And yet, this is all sort of tongue-in-cheek because the piece is very fun, very tonal, very melodic throughout. And so it's a piece everybody's really going to enjoy.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. We're previewing the opening concerts for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, their 2013-2014 concert season. And opening the program will be the music of Lowell Lieberman. This is the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Grant Llewellyn, this is Revelry, right here on WDIY Classics.
Thank you.
Grant Llewellyn conducting the BBC Symphony Orchestra, the music of Lowell Lieberman. That's entitled Revelry right here on WDIY Classics. And that will be the opening piece for the 2013-2014 Allentown Symphony Orchestra concert season. More information is at their website, allentownsymphony.org. The program features concerts at 8 o'clock on Saturday, October 12th, 3 o'clock Sunday, October 13th. Diane Wittry conducting the Allentown Symphony Orchestra this weekend. We are so pleased to have the maestra in the studio. Diane, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, it's a fun piece. I really enjoy it. And it was written in 1995 for the Westchester Symphony in New York. And people are beginning to know about the piece. It's, you know, with any new piece of music, it takes a while for the word to get around that there's a really great piece out there. And but it's a piece I've always loved.
Yeah. So that'll be a little exhilarating. I'm trying to think of the rhythms. The rhythms, the percussion. It kind of gets your kind of blood pumping. And so everybody's going to be on the edge of their seat by the time that's done. And then you go into the, I want to say the big, what's the order of the concert?
So then we go from
the Revelry. I read your website, and I always read it wrong here.
No, we're going from there right into the Greek piano concerto.
Okay, there we go.
Which is,
so what a setup. Perfect.
I think so. I think they work very, very well together. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and you know, the Greek is so dramatic and yet so absolutely beautiful at the same time and very haunting. And I think the Greek works very well with the Sibelius. You know, I tried to, like I say, I compare this to sort of, you know, flavors of a meal. You know, they all have to really blend and work well together.
Sure, a little spicy appetizer, and then to a big hearty piano concerto. And I guess what an appropriate transition for us. We have a gourmand in our presence, a wine expert, and a brilliant pianist. We welcome to WDIY and to the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, to Miller Symphony Hall, Awadajan Pratt. Welcome to WDIY.
Thank you very much.
So glad you joined us. You are a very eclectic kind of person. I guess you're a Renaissance man. Is that fair?
I don't know about that, but...
But a lot of different interests.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I've read a little bit about the music you're involved in. You've done work with Terrence Blanchard. Is that right?
Yeah, that was for a film score, Caveman's Valentine.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
And then you do jazz. You had a jazz thing in Lancaster for a while?
No, that was a classical music festival. The Next
Generation
Festival.
Oh, it was classical music.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy jazz. Probably the closest I come to playing any, which isn't really at all, is playing some of the music of Fred Hirsch, who has written some classical pieces. But yeah.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I'll tell the audience what I know, and you can fill in the blanks. That your parents were both academics. You grew up in Illinois as a small child. You played tennis, and then studied the Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, and now you live in Cincinnati.
That's it.
All right.
Next.
But you have varied interests: food, wine, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I love food. I love cooking and grilling and smoking meat, and I've collected a lot of wine over a period of time.
And you're a blogger. You write.
I used to. It's been a little while. But I definitely, you know, it's funny. I set up the blog, and then 80% of it at least was about food and wine, and then it was about 15% music. But that was kind of fun.
When we think of classical music, this is maybe an old stereotype. You think of a starched shirt, tie, tails, very formal. There's sort of this sort of box of formal, kind of dusty concert halls. When I read about the way you think about music, when I listen to some of your commentary on Beethoven, it seems to me you think a little outside the box. You don't fit all of those kind of stereotypes of a dusty, staid, and maybe those are maybe not even fair stereotypes any longer. It seems to me that you like to think differently or push some of those envelopes.
There's a friend of mine who's a classical musicians who has said that he hopes that when his career is finished, the classical music will have entered the 20th century finally. So I think the we're working, I think, as a profession to become less staid and more active and dynamic, and less, I think, formalized in sense of presentation. I never wore a pair of tails unless I was playing violin in an orchestra, And one of the first concerts I actually was even in the finals of Naumburg competition, I thought I should wear a suit. And after the first piece, I took the jacket off. And then the same thing happened at my first recital after winning. And so then after, I never never wore a jacket. It was always pants and a shirt of some sort. So I think that... it's funny you mentioned the Beethoven. Is that the Beethoven 4?
Yeah, I think
little
that's what it was,
discussion.
Yeah.
I'd like to do more of those. It was a little introduction, I guess, to the Beethoven 4th Piano Concerto, and that's kind of fun, kind of breaking it down, analyzed in a way, but presented in kind of a fun way about the piece. So, yeah.
You've played piano from childhood. What inspires you or inspired you to pursue that instrument? Was that always just normal? Kind of what drove you
Well, I started piano lessons when I was a kid, and I started violin lessons a few years later. And you know, I think at the beginning, you know, I really liked the music. No one really wants to practice, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So my parents took care of that. But I never wanted to stop, you know, mm-hmm. I think, which is critical. And then you get to a point where the music itself drives you, you know, just becoming acquainted with the full dimension of music and composers. And I remember, you know, I listened to a fair bit of music when I was a kid. There are not so many Beethoven piano sonatas, for instance, played on the radio. The ones that are played on the radio are the famous ones. And one day my teacher gave me the volume of the complete sonatas of Beethoven. And so I remember just sort of turning the page, and it was just page after page of discovery of, you know, it was this like Opus 31, you know, set of three sonatas. And then, you know, going on at 57, and then, oh, this is interesting, you know, and that's, you know, that could have taken a whole summer, and then you get to the late sonatas, and so that kind of discovery of a dimension of a composer that, you know, when I was in junior high school and high school, anytime I could write a paper on something that was not specifically assigned, I tried to tie it to Beethoven somehow, you know. Mm-hmm. But so even thinking I knew Beethoven, and then to find out I didn't even know anything about Beethoven, you know. I knew a lot about his life and, you know, character, but not all the pieces. So that kind of thing doesn't really end for us, and that's what's kind of incredible about it.
Right. For our listeners, you're tuned to WDIY Classics on listener-supported community public radio, WDIY Allentown. My name is Waldemar Vanoskis, and we're visiting with Awadajan Pratt. He is a pianist who will be the soloist with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra this weekend at Miller Symphony Hall for their opening revelry. He'll be performing Grieg's Piano Concerto in A minor along with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. So tell me a little bit about Grieg. Again, here it is. I've heard someone describe this as an old war horse. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a part of the old repertoire. When you sit down at the piano and you think about a piece that's been played, you know, 10,000 times, where do you go? What do you want to do with it, or how does it affect you, or do you want to, you know, build on the past? Do you want to forge into new territory?
I don't think you think about it. And you know, pretty much every piece in the canon is an old war horse. I'd like to see an old war horse one day, just to see what they look like. I've heard a lot about you, war horse. But you know, the piece has, I described it a couple weeks ago. It's the opening is the Beethoven Fifth Symphony of piano concertos. You know, that it's the most famous opening, I think, of a piano concerto. Really a blast out of a war cannon.
we're going to go with that war.
Yeah. but I, you know, I think that there's this thing about the idea of, let's go back to war horses, that as if, you know, you asked me if I had a favorite recording. No, I don't. And it's not even as if when you're in school, like, you know, maybe at Peabody, one person played it at the BSO during the time I was there, Baltimore Symphony. And, you know, maybe there was one, you know, recording that I had an LP when I was growing up, but, you know the tunes, but it's not something where you've ever gotten really in before you start playing the piece to study the piece. So that's just where it starts and ends for me. You know, I all the information is there, and it's plenty of times I've, you know, learned a piece and someone's like, oh, that sounds really radically different from, I'm like, I don't know, I'm just doing what yeah, I see here. I remember my former teacher Fleischer once said that tradition is nothing but a collection of bad habits. So I try to not have bad habits, but
sure.
That's a funny way of putting it. But,
yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. So, Diane, tell me a little bit about your programming, Grieg. You know, is this a piece that you've done before?
Yes, I've done it quite a few times, and it's a piece that actually, though, we have not done with the Allentown Symphony. I've done it with other orchestras. And so, you know, in looking through, I always try to bring a variety of things to our wonderful audience out there. And so I thought, you know, this is a piece we haven't played for a long time. Let's play this piece. And I think it's pretty remarkable when you think that Grieg was only 26 years old when he wrote this piece. And, you know, I think of what I was doing when I was 26, and could I have written a piano concerto like this? I don't think so.
I think not, yeah. You
know? And the fact that, you know, we're playing this piece, was written in 1868, and we're still playing it now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a legacy to write a piece at that age that is still played today and loved today. And I think loved because it has, like I said, such gorgeous melodies. I mean, just the piece really works.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about Sibelius and Grieg, and they were essentially contemporaries. But the difference is Sibelius lived to almost be 100, and Grieg only made 50. And so, in a sense, they kind of composed for a period at the same time, but then Sibelius kept going for another 40 years after Grieg was gone. It's kind of an amazing thing there.
And I think, at least I hear a connection in their styles, and maybe it's just the whole Scandinavian school and the nationalism and the folk music, but I felt that these two pieces, the Grieg Piano Concerto and the Sibelius Symphony No. 2, worked very well together, even though the times they were written is dramatically different, over 30 years difference. Because the Sibelius Symphony No. 2 was written in 1901, 1902. So, but the flavors still come through, the styles, the character.
Sure. Why don't we let's get a little glimpse of the first movement, that most well-known opening. This is the Norwegian pianist Leif Ove Andsnes on piano, along with the Bergen Philharmonic Orchestra. These are the opening measures of Grieg's Piano Concerto in A minor. That's the music of Edvard Grieg for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics from his Piano Concerto in A Minor, Opus 54. Leif Ove Andsnes on piano, along with the Bergen Philharmonic Orchestra under the direction of Dmitry Kitayenko. It's 9:35 or 10:35 in the Lehigh Valley. You're tuned to WDIY Classics. And if you enjoyed that, Grieg, you can hear the entire piece this weekend as part of the opening revelry of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. They have two concerts at Miller Symphony Hall, Saturday, October 12th, 8 o'clock, Sunday, October 13th at 3 p.m. The music of Lowell Lieberman, Edvard Grieg, and Jean Sibelius. With me in the studio, the maestra, the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, Diane Wittry, and also our soloist, Awadajan Pratt, joining us this morning. Well, there it is. What do you think, Grieg?
It's going to be great fun. Really looking forward to it.
Good. Yeah. Well, do you do as a soloist and a pianist? You play all sorts of different things. Is it in your own preparation when you prepare for a concert? Do you spend hours and hours and hours and hours working on a piece, honing every note, I'm not a musician. It would seem to me that even as the conductor, as you kind of pour over these scores, at some point you just get kind of score burnout. You have the little, do you approach it so it's fresh? Do you hone every note? I mean, what's your approach to preparing a piece like this?
Yeah, you pretty much try not to leave things to chance, because chance happens. if you get things worked out, thoroughly, and then I think the better prepared you are, the more on top of the piece in every dimension, the more you're open to things happening on the spur of the moment and knowing how they kind of fit into the architecture of the whole. So but that said, I do highly value the spirit of the moment.
Yeah, there's some freshness and inspiration, whatever that causes inspiration. All right. Anything else about the Grieg, Diane?
No, we can go on to the Sibelius.
All right, let's talk about that. Along with preparations that the symphony is involved with, you also have help not only on stage with the musicians, but you also, for the last couple of years now, you bring to the symphony, you have this conducting fellow program.
Yeah, and this is a national program, and we're very pleased to have conductors really from all over the country that have participated in this. And this is our Conducting Fellows Program, and with this we invite, for every single concert, a different conductor to come and to just be there to help out, to listen for balances, sometimes they'll be running a PowerPoint thing that goes with a piece. When we did the Planets, when we did the Berlioz Symphony Fantastique, they were very involved in that. Sometimes we have a chorus and they're helping, move the chorus into their positions or helping with balance or checking things there. And so it's really nice to have this wonderful Conducting Fellows program. And we have a conducting fellow with us today, David Kubek, or David, who is originally from Venezuela but is currently living now in Claremont and is teaching at the Scripps College with the Claremont Colleges.
All right. David, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could join us all the way from California. Part of the Conducting Fellow program is this tied to Diane's? Diane wrote this wonderful book, Beyond the Baton, and you do these seminars as well.
Yes, and I usually do select the Conducting Fellows. Occasionally, I will select one that's not been in the program. Mm-hmm. But the reason we do that is people can send me a resume, and it can be very impressive, but I don't know the personality of that person. I don't know how this type of opportunity really fits in their full lifetime plan. And so it's just much easier for us to do it through the conducting seminars, because in the seminars, I get to meet them for 2 or 3 days or sometimes 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Really, you get to know a person and you get to figure out, you know, how does this work for them? And you get to find out, are they going to be the personality that, that is going to enjoy this type of opportunity? So it's worked out very well for us to do it that way.
Yeah. So glad you're with us. You know, when I think of the arts, any kind of art or craft, whether that's painting, sculpting, you know, music, learning an instrument, you know, that really is, you know, it's not something you read in a book. It's something that you learn hands-on by experience. Many crafts, you have an apprentice, right? If you're a sculptor, you have an apprentice, or, if you're, you know, a woodworker or a carpenter, you have an apprentice, and you work next to somebody who is an expert, and then you watch their the way they do their craft, and you learn from that sort of hands-on experience. And so tell me about this experience working with Diane. How does this help you as a conductor, watching, listening? What have you seen and learned so far? Or what are you looking forward to learn about that?
Well, conducting, as you say, it's a very unique discipline. And as a matter of fact, there is many different sides to conducting. And Diane has written about it. Conducting is just not about stepping on the podium and moving your arms in a way that hopefully conveys some artistic meaning to the orchestra and the audience, but there is many other sides to it. And what I have learned from Diane in past seminars, and I'm learning now, is about all of these other aspects of leading a group that's relevant for their communities and working with musicians. So there's all kinds of things that you're observing, and basically every moment can potentially be a learning moment. I'm looking forward to it.
So tell me a little bit of your background. When I assume you started playing some instrument. What do you play?
Piano.
You're a pianist.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Good. See? I got two. You can sit and watch two of them. Yeah, how about that? So you started out playing piano. At what point in your career, you're a pretty young man now, at what point in that process did you realize that you didn't want to sit in the orchestra, you wanted to stand up in front? When did the inspiration come for you to be a conductor?
Well, I was in the middle of my piano and college studies at McGill University, Montreal. And I attended a rehearsal. I was, I think, a junior at the time. Attended a rehearsal of Brahms' Second Symphony, which I believe the Allentown Symphony is going to be playing soon. Another marvelous warhorse, if you will. and it was so incredibly beautiful. I had heard the recording of the symphony, but I was mesmerized by seeing all of my peers, my class, playing in the orchestra. And this time they were not wearing tails or tuxedos, but they were just themselves, you know, young musicians. And I was very sad that as a pianist, I was never going to be able to be part of that symphonic world of playing, interpreting a Brahms symphony, which immediately became my favorite piece ever, along with other symphonies eventually. So I decided at that point that I need to be part of this. This music is just wonderful, and a symphony orchestra is one of the most amazing sound machines that human beings have ever created, and it has its capacity to be recreated. I mean, it's an endless palette of sonic colors. So I decided to study conducting. I was too old to pick a violin or a flute or a clarinet, but I realized that my piano skills and my background in piano and chamber music and composition would be very helpful to be a conductor. So that was the moment. I recall it very vividly.
That's wonderful. Now, growing up in Venezuela, that's the whole El Sistema is out of Venezuela, is that right?
Yes.
Were you involved at all with that?
Yes and no. As I said, I was always studying piano and doing a little bit of composition on the side. And I went to the school where most of El Sistema students that would like to become professional musicians go. That's the conservatory Simón Bolívar in Caracas. So all of my friends were part of this. I would going to rehearsals. I would go to symphonic concert 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. But I was at that time, you know, a teenager, and I was proud to be different and then just do my own thing with the piano. I thought that it was very cool. So the epiphany didn't happen until later when I had left Venezuela to pursue musical studies in Canada.
All right. So What you have a privilege that many young people don't have, which is you have participated in classical music in South America, in Canada, Montreal, which is not like regular North America. That's a sort of a unique culture unto its own, really. It's very
absolutely.
And then California, which is not like regular North America either, you know. And so you have three completely different contexts.
And you skipped Chicago too.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned Chicago earlier. Yeah, Northwestern University. Is that
right? Absolutely.
And which is sort of generic, sort of North America. So you've had four different. Not leave me alone. Our audience, Diane Wittrie is giving me a hard time. My point is simply that those are completely different contexts. What's it like then to play and learn music in South America, Montreal, Chicago, and L.A.? Is it similar, different, or what are the different seasonings? You use the meal example. What are the different seasonings that those different contexts? What have you experienced?
Well, although you describe Chicago as generic North America, and Montreal is very unique.
It's the Midwest, right?
Right. I do see some similarities in the music making in North America. The level is very high. Students have access to great education since a very early moment in their lives. Where I see the major difference is when I work in Venezuela. El Sistema is not a music education system. It's a social transformation system through music and through ensemble playing, mainly choirs and orchestras. And so I go to what I like to refer to sometimes as to godforsaken towns, where all of a sudden these towns that I don't think history plan for them to have symphony orchestras, and the symphony orchestras are there, and we perform Beethoven or Grieg or Shostakovich in the middle of a public square or a basketball court with all of this youth, and the music can be extremely relevant in a different way. I mean, speaking of tradition and etiquette, all of this is absolutely gone. The music is there just simply to transform life, and that's perhaps very different from other contexts in North America, where perhaps the level is extremely high, but at some points, as we said, we're trying to transform, and like we're doing here in the Arlington Symphony, and make music, make people understand how relevant and current all the music that we love and we perform is.
All right. That's David Kubek. He is the conducting fellow for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra's opening concert. It's this weekend, Saturday the 12th, 8 o'clock, Sunday the 13th at 3 o'clock at Miller Symphony Hall. More information is at allentownsymphony.org, or you can call the box office at
610-432-6715.
All right. David, so glad you were here today, and look forward to seeing you and working, hearing you work,
Thank you for having me.
Weekend. Best of luck. Well, Diane Wittrie, should we listen to just a smidge of the Sibelius and maybe we could wrap up?
Sure, let's listen to a little bit of the first movement.
All right, very good. This is Sir Colin Davis conducting the London Symphony Orchestra. Sibelius is Symphony No. 2, Opus 43, the tempo marking for the first movement, Allegretto, right here on WDIY Classics. That's the music of Jean Sibelius for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classic. Sir Colin Davis conducting the London Symphony Orchestra, the Symphony No. 2, Opus 43 of Sibelius. That will be part of the opening revelry for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra this weekend at Moore Symphony Hall. More information, allentownsymphony.org. With me in the studio, the last 10 minutes of our visit with Diane Witchery, Awad Ajin Pratt, also with us, David Kubek. And we're kind of previewing this concert a little bit, Diane.
Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful concert. You know, this symphony is really based upon a very simple motive. And, you know, a lot of composers use a motivic style of writing. You know, we think of Beethoven with his Beethoven Fifth Symphony, ba-ba-ba-bom. Everybody knows those, that sort of three-note combination. And with the Sibelius, he really takes three notes of a scale. So it appears here at the beginning, da 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 da. So you have that descending three notes. And then all throughout the piece, he's working the different combinations of this three-note progression. And then what's really wonderful is in the final movement, which many people remember about this piece because it's such a glorious ending, you know, then it becomes da-da-da-da-da-da. So he actually then changes it and the scale goes upwards, but we still have it repeated many times throughout. And so one of the things I enjoy as a conductor is really searching for how these motives that he utilizes relate in the different movements, and then coming up with combinations of creating tempo relationships so that the listener subconsciously is going to gear into those. Even if you don't really consciously know that motif is happening again, if I keep the tempo relationship the same, you're going to hear it as a slimmer thing. And so all throughout this work, he's creating themes and melodies and then reutilizing them in other movements. And it's very well-crafted piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful piece. One of my favorites of all time. I'm so thrilled that you programmed this. For our listeners, if you're not familiar with this piece, this will sweep you away. Come to hear Grieg. Come to hear the Sibelius. It's a glorious thing. We have just a couple of minutes left. We'll have some tickets to give away in a minute, and we'll go out with the end of the Sibelius. I want to remind all of our listeners that every Friday before the concert, you can hear Diane Witchery here at 10 o'clock on WDIY, and at noon, Diane will be on stage with the soloist, Awad Ajin Pratt, as part of the Meet the Artist series. It's like a brown bag luncheon. You can grab a lunch and then head for Allentown Symphony Hall this morning at noon, and then you can hear more about the different pieces on the program. You'll hear some snippets of the music. You'll meet the artists, and you also have tickets and things you give away as well.
Exactly.
So it's a great opportunity.
So if you don't get the tickets, calling in here, just come down to Symphony Hall. You might get
the free tickets
we give away there.
All right. Well, we're so glad you're here, Diane. We're looking forward to another great concert season. There's lots of wonderful things in store. Awad Ajin Pratt, thank you for coming.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Best to you. You got anything interesting going on in your life after Allentown Symphony? Anything?
Oh, there could not be anything after Allentown that you compare.
I know you have a couple recordings, cello and piano with is it Zuhl?
Zuhl Bailey. Yeah.
Zuhl Bailey. Those are on Amazon. Anything else in the works? Interesting?
No, not really. just leading a very sedate.
You have a website.
What is your
website?
www.awadagin.com.
Yeah.
So schedule's up there.
Schedule and blog and all those links. Yeah. Okay. David Kubek, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Best to you as well in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
All right. Diane Witchery, tickets 610-694-8100, extension 1 after the music starts. We'll have two pairs to give away. After the music starts, call that number. Coming up on Friday Film Scores, we're going to spend the morning listening to La Traviata. Luciano Pavarotti is singing today. We're celebrating the 200th birthday of Giuseppe Verdi from 11 to 12 today. Instead of a film score, an opera score. Diane Witchery, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
All right, more information about the Allentown Symphony Orchestra series at allentownsymphony.org, Saturday the 12th at 8, Sunday the 13th at 3 o'clock, the music of Lowell Lieberman, Edvard Grieg, Jean Sibelius. This is Sibelius, Symphony No. 2, Opus 43, the final movement, the tempo marking Allegro Moderato, the London Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Sir Colin Davis.